Welcome to the 5-Year You Podcast, a show dedicated to helping you become the best version of yourself one day at a time. I'm Andrew.
And I'm Kat, and we promise to keep it raw, real, and relatable.
Are you ready to grow?
Hi, Five Tribe. Today's episode is a scary one. It has kept more adults up at night than every horror movie combined. It's something we've all felt fear around, restless nights, everything. Today's episode is how to stop being scared of money. I am your co-host, Andrew, and with me always is Catherine. How are you doing today, Kat?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I don't think I oversold this. I think like money is literally the thing that we all have in common, that at one point or another in life, we fear just as much as we fear Darth Vader being in our basement at age 3. So I feel like you'd probably be the best to lead the charge in this podcast because you are a money expert. And what has been your experience around all of this?
Sure. Well, I will say you're a money expert too. You are a CPA, and I wrote a money book. And in the process of writing my book, Mom's Got Money, I had to do a lot of research, and I was super interested in people's emotions around money. I didn't want to write a book that was like, oh, just sit down and write your numbers down and then just don't spend your money on fun things, the end. I wanted to really understand the psychology behind why people feel the way that they feel about money and how to overcome it. And what was interesting is one of the pieces of research I found is that even wealthy people, wealthy women in particular, have bag lady syndrome, which is the worry and the concern that one day they're going to be a bag lady, which is, sort of a colloquial term, right, of a woman who is homeless or destitute. And so it's not even the amount of money that you have that makes you stop being scared of money, because even people who have it worry about losing it. And so I'm always just so fascinated at the psychology around money, behind money. And it can be really hard for people to learn how to get comfortable with it, comfortable talking about it, comfortable dealing with it. And those are some of the tips that we both wanted to share with our listeners today.
I like that. And I'm definitely going to Google colloquial because it's a fun word to say, but I'm not sure how to spell it. And I'm not completely sure of the definition. So if you're listening, if you're at home going like, yeah, I didn't get that either, we're in the same boat on that one. Gee. I think that when we are looking at this money thing, it's a relationship, right? And when we are afraid of a relationship, it's not a really good one. It's really interesting about the bag lady syndrome. I don't remember you researching that and telling me about it. I was listening to, I think it was Ken Honda's course on Mind Valley, and his thing is all about your relationship with money. Like, how do you feel around it? What do you say about it? How do you talk about it? How do you think about it? And it's all kind of into that area of scarcity, but it's also like, you know, if you're growing up with a scarcity family or just that mindset, it's going to be really hard to stop being scared of it. So what would you say to somebody if they're like, what, I just need that first step. Mm-hmm. How do I don't even want to necessarily be like, okay with money. That's the end goal, but, or happy with it, even better. How do I move away from this scared feeling that I have about it that's keeping me up at night?
Yeah. And what's interesting about it is we've done 50 plus episodes now, and we always say, whether we're talking about, you know, emotions or, you know, self-improvement or sleep or anything else, it's the same with money. It begins with awareness. And I think that it's the anxiety that people feel of the not knowing that creates all of this fear. And I can tell you that I've been in places where I've, at different points in my life, where I've had an abundance of money. And I've been at different points in my life where I was paycheck to paycheck. And in all situations, I always felt better knowing my numbers. And it is a not fun first step. This is the first step I write about in my book. No one really wants to sit down and open their bank accounts and add up how much student loan debt they have. But just knowing eliminates a large percentage of that anxiety. You have to know where you stand today in order to get to where you want to be eventually.
That makes sense. So I'm here, I'm afraid of money. And your advice at this point is to, like, you're going to have to look at it and get a handle on it one way or another. And that can be really overwhelming for a lot of people. I think a lot of times we know that we need to do that, but doing it is really hard because, unlike most people on the planet, they aren't spreadsheet nerds like you and I are. The idea of, like, going back through a month of last year's receipts or a bank statement is very, very vulnerable, right? You got to look at yourself at that point. So, and that might not be the easiest or the best feeling, but I think that's kind of where that scared mindset comes in. I really want to say scarcity, but it's not necessarily the same thing. That scared mindset comes in of, you're going to have to face your fear. Mm-hmm. This fear that you have around money is a block, and that block needs to be looked at. It needs to be addressed. Otherwise, it just kind of whispers in the background. And I've talked about fear like this before. Fear is the thing that opens the door when you're feeling good and says, worry about money. And then it closes the door and runs away. And you just sit there going, okay, geez, yeah, I'll worry about money now. But we never turn around and go, wait, why? Why am I supposed to worry about money? Why is this coming up? So we need to kind of look at it and examine the fear while we're doing this. So what is that thing that's holding you back from looking at your money? Why? What amount of money is actually enough? They did a study. Actually, it wasn't a study. That's a very, very elaborate term for what it was. There was one guy, I believe it was Ken Honda, who was going around and he asked, like, one of the richest people he knew, you know, are you happy with your money? No. When I have 5 million, when I have 10 million, then I'll be happy. And so you went and asked somebody with 10 million, are you happy? No, I won't be happy. Why not? Well, because I don't have a jet. So you went and asked somebody with a jet, are you happy with money? No, I'll be happy when I have a bigger jet, because this one only sits 6 people. If you can imagine the travesty that must cause that person. I think when we look at this stuff, it really is about that internal game that we always talk about, and we always come back to, but it really is about understanding that if you're afraid of money now, when you have a lot more of it, you're still going to have that fear. It doesn't go away unless you start looking at it. So I think that's great for a first step, is to just give yourself permission to look at the numbers, but give yourself permission to be kind to yourself while you look at the numbers. Because I think that's a part of it, is we're really aware of the self-critic in our brain that's going to say, you shouldn't have spent that at this place or that place. And oh my goodness, I can't believe this is what we made, and all the negative talk. What's the next step? What's something else that we can do that's going to help people?
I think that we talk a lot about our evolutionary brains on this show. We talk a lot about how our brains are designed when we're talking about, you know, taking a leap or doing something new or changing jobs. And we talk about how our brains are wired for survival. And there are so many different things that affects. And money is one of those things. And again, understanding where you are is one thing, but also understanding that in today's society, money is closely tied to our ability to survive. And that is a very natural thing to cause your brain to panic. Mm-hmm. With money, we can have a home and a car to drive to work and food to put on the table for our children. Without it, it threatens our survival, which sends off every warning signal that your brain has. And I can tell you that I have had far less money than I had when I first became a single parent, a solo parent. And I wasn't really worried then, you know, and I was like a broke college student. I had, you know, my parents I could call or something like that. I've never worried about money so much until I became a solo parent. The magnitude of the weight of that responsibility. And it was because I felt a threatening of my survival. If I don't do this, if I don't work, if I don't get it together, if I don't improve my situation, am I going to be able to provide? Well, of course, I was able to provide. And I just wanted to acknowledge that, you know, this is wrapped into the first step, is just sort of acknowledging, you know, this. But the next step, Andrew, I would say, is that having accountability is like not going through this alone. Even if you are a solo parent, even if you are a young college student listening to this, having a group, having a community, the debt-free community on Instagram and TikTok, and having a friend do the budget with you. If you are close with your parents, like telling them what you're working on and your different goals, a sibling, whatever it is, if you don't have a spouse that you're joining money with, just having someone to walk along with you is like going to be a big part of also reducing this fear.
I like that. I think selecting the right person for the journey too makes a big deal. As far as when I was going on my debt-free journey, having the right people support you is a really big thing, because not everybody's going to understand what you're doing. And most people would rather be blind and keep being scared of money than face their fear. Mm-hmm. And so if you can find somebody in real life or online, I think real life is always better, because there's just a different interaction than, I mean, there's a lot of great influencers and money bloggers out there that share their debt-free journeys and stuff like that. But it's not the same as somebody in your real life that when you guys get together, you have coffee at one of your places rather than go out for coffee, because you both understand that that's an, you know, exponentially more expensive coffee. And that mindset really does help. And if you don't have somebody like that, do your best to try to find someone, but then become your best friend with that, because you need support. And whether it's just imaginary support, I mean, real life support is better, but you're facing fears, and most of us don't want to face that. And I think like it's not shunning anybody. It's not, there's no shame in it. It's just that that's a big leap for most of us. When most of us go, you know what? I don't like the situation. I don't like the financial situation. I don't want to be up at night. I don't want to be waking up at 3 a.m. worried about this, that, and the other thing. I need to change this. A good chunk of people, you know, will want that, but they won't want to walk the journey with you. So finding people online can be a great start. Finding debt-free clubs or communities, whatever it is. There's a lot of them. Catherine and I have been members of many of them. We started our own back in the day. There's an overwhelming amount of support. So if you're in a small community like I am and you can't find that, online is a great place to start. If you can't find somebody like that, look for a mentor. Look for somebody who's already done it. And when you find somebody like that, they'll get it and they'll know, trust me, they will know the struggles that you're going through, and they will want to help you, because then that's just me talking from experience. When anybody comes to me with a money issue, I like, my heart goes out to them and I want to help them in whatever way I can to make sure that they walk this journey with pride and confidence, because that's the biggest thing. Okay, so we've faced our money, we've got our friend or community or whatever. What other things can we do to stop being scared of money? What's the next?
Yeah, I think that increasing your knowledge of the thing, right? Increasing your knowledge of the thing reduces the fear of it, right? So if you had no idea how to cook and you were afraid of turning on the stove, you know, let's say you have a gas stove and you just don't like the flame shooting out, and, you know, like you're just straight up scared to cook. So you just keep eating soup out of a can, right? So facing the fears, watching videos of people turning on the gas burner, Googling, you know, beginner recipes with 5 ingredients or less, which legit is still one of my favorite things to Google. And again, having a friend on FaceTime to watch you do it, right? Or inviting someone over to cook a really simple, you know, pasta meal. You decrease fear by increasing your exposure to something, right? And so again, for me, I always recommend, especially if people are on a money journey, and you might even have no debt, but you're still just afraid of money. You're still afraid that you're going to mess something up. Increasing your exposure, training your algorithms to show you people that you want to see, to show you people who are living the lives that you want to emulate. So for me, Andrew and I are a fan of the FIRE movement, which is financial independence, retire early. These are people who are more into lifestyle choices rather than, let's say, personal possessions or something like that. If I was constantly following other women who had large houses and really expensive cars, I would feel like I was doing something wrong, or I would be trying to put my effort into emulating them. Nothing wrong with that. It's just not part of the journey that I am personally on. So every time that I open up an algorithm, my Instagram app, they got tons of people paying off debt. They got tons of people who are living lifestyles like, oh, they quit their corporate job and they're, you know, driving their van or their whatever, just alternate, like people who are similar to me, have similar values, who are more focused on a life that is more minimalist. And you have to train your mind to start seeing what you want to see, to start learning, going to different influencers. There's so many free courses. And if you email us at hello@5yearyou.com, we can recommend some financial educators who we are personally friends with who offer money courses for free, who have really good information on their YouTubes and Instagram. It's just increasing exposure, learning about it. The more you see people like you who are your age, who have been where you are, who are living the life that you want to live, the more you can see that it's possible for you. There are so many different people who are the children of immigrants. We have a really good friend who speaks to a lot of Latina women on her channel about, you know, breaking out of that mindset and becoming really successful with your money. I mean, there is somebody for you, regardless of what background you come from, who can help you find your way. So I think, yeah, finding people who are where you want to be is going to be a big part of the journey. Learning, 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 and reading.
I like that. I would actually put a step in between those ones.
Yeah.
And you're alluding to it a lot, but I don't think we've actually explicitly said it. So what I think you also need to do is to have a background or a vision of what you want to see happen and how you want your life to be. Because, I'm not talking about, you know, 15 houses on different places in the world and everything's going to be pie in the sky. I'm talking about having like this vision of what your day-to-day looks like when you're comfortable with money, when you have enough money, because that is a very different way of feeling around money. It's a very different way of acting around money. And I think we need to be aware of how we actually want to go. Otherwise, without that vision, we just wander around meaninglessly. We kind of go left, we go right. You know, maybe I'll look at the debt-free community. Maybe I'll look at the FIRE community. Maybe I'll just go back to buying, you know, random things on Amazon every week to make myself feel better. When you have a clear vision of how you want to feel, whether it's money or anything else in life, we'll focus on money. But when you have that vision of how you want to feel, it's different. Life changes for you. You start to grow into that place. You start to know every morning, right, I'm somebody who is good with money, and somebody who is good with money makes their coffee at home before they go to work. They park in the cheaper lot. They take the public transit. They do this, they do that. All of these little things are votes of confidence towards that new image that you're creating. And that's a really big thing that we work on at 5-Year You with our clients, is making sure that they understand that who they are today and who they want to be are vastly different. But it doesn't happen overnight. It happens fast, but it happens with these little votes of confidence along the way that allow you to move towards that future vision of yourself. So I would kind of add that, and I don't know if you agree or disagree with it, but I just think that's something that's always vital, is to kind of know the end game so that you know where you're going.
Totally. I think that's really good, because I think that, so we're talking about building awareness, understanding that where you are and your fears are valid, right? Because money is tied to our survival. Knowing where you want to be and what your financial goals are, what you hope for, and then finding people, support, mentors, or educators online who meet the criteria of where you want to be, and then exposing yourself to that kind of person so your day is filled with that. All of those are great steps to take along this journey and parallel with this journey. I would also add to watch how you speak about yourself with money, because we talk to a lot of people about money. We talk to our coaching clients about money. I even had one of my kids recently say, oh, I'm just really bad with spending. They were going to the little toy store in town a bit too often. And I was like, immediately like, whoa. Let's reframe that. You're not bad with spending. You are 11. You are learning how to prioritize your spending. You are learning how to save for the very first time in your life. And there are adults who are still learning how to save. So you're doing great. You're great with money. You are learning so many lessons so early, right? Because we hear a lot of people like, I suck with money. I'm so bad with spending. I'm the worst with it. I'm terrible at saving. And if you keep saying those things and thinking those things about yourself, that's the energy you're putting into it. So the more you learn, the more little nuggets you get every day, every time you read a chapter of a book or listen to a money audiobook while you're doing the dishes or whatever, you're like, I'm learning about money. Every day I get more confident with money. And so I would say really watch how you talk to yourself about it as well.
Yeah. It's like financial push-ups or sit-ups or something like that, right? It's just like, yeah, you're not where you want to be. That's why you're listening to this. But you know that you want to be better, and that's more important. So let's encourage that part of you that's knowing that it wants to improve rather than shunning ourselves for something that for the way we were. It doesn't help. You know, I'm going to share this story because it really hit home with me, and it stuck with me for, you know, almost 30 years. When I was in grade school or high school, we had to do book report. You know, you had to like walk in front of the class and do book reports. And this one girl in my class came up and said, like, I read The Wealthy Barber, which in Canada, that was like the big personal finance book of the 90s. It was kind of like the Rich Dad, Poor Dad of the 90s. And there is an American version of it too. Great, great book with a great narrative. Highly recommend it to anybody starting out on a money journey. And she said, and I need to learn about this because I'm not really smart, so I'll probably be really bad at money. And I can still remember those words. I can remember where I'm sitting in the class. I can remember hearing those things because you could feel the pain. And I always wonder, like, you know, if we could just start changing the story around those things, if we could even just swap that story out for, you know, I'm willing to learn about money because I want to get better at it rather than committing ourselves to a life of, you know, financial idiocy, which definitely was not this person's case, but they felt it. I think it would be much better for us to just start encouraging our mindset around this stuff, because anybody who's willing to listen to a topic called How to Stop Being Scared of Money is willing to face that fear just a little bit. And that's all you need to grow. You don't have to face it all at once. You just need to take that first step. And then the next step shows up and you take that and you keep walking the path. So the fact that you've made it this far into the episode means that you are doing way better than you are giving yourself credit for. So I want you to take a second, dear listener, to just give yourself that credit. You are doing way better than most people out there. It might not feel like it, but future you right now is just popping champagne or Diet Cokes or whatever you do to celebrate, and celebrating, going like, yes, you're finally doing it. You're helping me. Yes, go, go, go. It is cheering you on in ways that you will not believe changes your life in a few years. So good for you for listening to this and for being willing to take action. You're one of the few.
I love that. I think that's a perfect place to end. And I want to echo, you know, what Andrew said. I commend you for learning. If you're scared about money, it's a valid fear. It makes sense evolutionarily for you to worry about it, but you can do it one foot in front of the other. Learning takes time, but you can do it.
All right, Kat, it's time for our glimmers. What is the little thing this week? If you're new to the show, we talk about something that just kind of lights us up, or a book or an activity or something that's made us smile this week. What's making you giggle this week?
I'll do a money one. I negotiated my rent down a bit. It was going to go up $100 a month. And, you know, I could have just accepted it and signed my lease, but I just sent a really sweet, nice email and asked if they would consider doing a little bit less. And now it's only going up, I think, $50 a month or something like that. Sometimes one email that takes you 5 minutes can save you a few hundred dollars. And just being willing to put myself out there, like, I almost talked myself out of it, but then I just sent off the email. And so that's my little glimmer today.
So to be clear, you wrote a $600 email in a couple of minutes. That is so amazing.
I love how you reframe things. That's why.
That is awesome. I think that's so cool. I know, like, most of us would probably just shy away and do things differently because of the awkwardness. So way to go. I love that. I'll use a money one too. I bought something off eBay that I had some problems with. It was a neurofeedback thing that I was really excited to get. And I've been hunting it and I got a great price on it. I was super excited to get it. And it just had problem after problem as soon as I got it and I returned it. Now, the reason why I'm calling this a glimmer is because old versions of me would have gone and bought the new one or gone shopping for it. But there were so many things wrong. It's not that like the thing didn't work properly. It's that it didn't fit my extra large head. And but I really got locked into this. So my glimmers, that cat also helped me, like, cause I'm like, oh, I should go get a new one. She's like, Andrew, it didn't fit your head. It's not that it just didn't work. It's not that there was a membership. It's that it didn't fit your head. And my brain would completely forget about that one aspect because it was just so caught up in the act of wanting to have this thing because I thought it would be a really cool thing to start experimenting with. So my glimmer is that I returned it and then I canceled any kind of like searches or anything else I had on this thing. It's like, it's dead to me now. And I'm really grateful for that. It seems so silly, but I'm like,
no,
it was really freeing for me for whatever reason. I really appreciate it. And thank you for smacking me upside the metaphor physical head with it and going like, it didn't fit.
Yeah. So, well, I think in both cases, because the thing I wanted to point out about your eBay thing is it said that they did not accept any returns. And I think the lesson for both of our glimmers is that it doesn't hurt to ask. And you even like showed me the message, like, this is what I want to say to them. Like, oh no, we got to like soften them, make it a little bit nicer. You know, whatever. And like, this is how you ask. And if you don't know how to do that, you can ask ChatGPT. Just be like, I want to say, I'm really mad that this thing doesn't work. How can I say it nicer so I get a refund? And you'll get a good answer. But so I think in both cases, we showed like, look, one email enabled you to return something. One email enabled me to get a discount on my rent for the next year. And so again, that is us being a little bit comfortable getting uncomfortable with a little bit of a hard money questions. And so, you know, even to people who work in the finance sector all the time, it's always a work in progress for us too.
Absolutely. I just had a deep, it just made me laugh so much. Anyway, folks, thank you so much for listening. We're going to be doing a few more of these money episodes because we realize that it's such a big part of everyone's life. And as we've attested to the other person, we're each financial experts in our own right, and we would love to help you. And if you are looking to take that step, please reach out to us at hello@5yearu.com or just go to 5yearu.com and click on the schedule an appointment, and we would love to help you on your journey. Thanks a lot, folks. We'll see you next time.
Hey guys, quick disclaimer. We're podcasters on the internet. If you need to seek professional help, please go see your healthcare professional.